We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Exciting and new, come aboard.
NBA,
we're expecting
over here.
You.
Come on, LeBron. Oh, look at LeBron nestling up to the bar. Isaac pouring him a nice Opus One. Isn't that a nice look?
Think about all like the different,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you got Julie McCoy. Julie McCoy meeting everybody coming on
Cruise
the boat.
Cruise director.
Beautiful.
Gopher, or whatever his name is. I mean, you can have all these people. Okay, on the Lido deck, we are going to have, we're going to play cornhole. Okay, we're going to have a free throw. We're going to have a free throw shooting contest at 5:30. Okay, we're going to play the love game. We're going to play match game. We're going to play, you know.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard. Jay Williams.
There's not a radical idea.
Move the NBA on cruise ships.
There's not an idea that I wouldn't say okay to.
I would say no to this one. I got to believe Adam Silver, when he heard this, is probably laughing his ass off. Back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. Here's Mike up in New Hampshire. Hello, Mike.
Jesus, glad. I love the three of you. You guys have a great chemistry together. You really do have a nice mix. Each one has a good positive attitude to the show. But I think it's time to reel ourselves in. That Love Boat, great segue, by the way. Help your production people with that one. The USS Teddy Roosevelt is floating around off of Guam right now, Glenn.
Right.
With 4,000 men and women on board between 18
Navy.
And 40
yep.
years old. And that plague is running through the ship.
Yep.
The captain's begging to come to port and disembark and have 2,800 guys get off that ship. I think, you know, you're the first one. You're very savvy. You're a great businessman, Glenn. You always have been. You're the first one to pick up on bad imagery. But this is a really bad look for even you guys tugging this around. Think about those 4,000 sailors on that ship right now.
They're actually moving them into vacant hotels in Guam.
Mike,
now, why are the hotels all vacant?
I think it's a bad idea to play on ships.
Yeah,
why is that a bad look?
Think of all the pina coladas you could drink.
Yeah.
Like, so you're assuming that all these guys that got on that ship, nobody knew what was going on. Did they get on the ship 2 weeks ago, or were they already deployed and then it broke out and it caught up to them? Now, we're assuming so it's different scenario. So apples and apples here. We're assuming that the ships have been swiped clean, disinfected, sprayed, you name it. Everybody who gets on only gets on if they're clean. Nobody who, if you're not tested and you're not cleared, then you don't get on the ship. So how does the virus impact that ship if nobody on it has it?
Christian,
I'm asking you to reel yourself in and be a little more sensitive to the common man and to the military men that are suffering on that ship right now.
Hold on, wait a second. How do you play that? Like, I'm not sensitive.
I am sensitive.
No, I went to sensitivity training. I'm not.
Incredibly selfish.
How do you actually take that leap? I'm serious now. We're talking about 2 months from now. 2 months from now, after figuring out. So wait, because hold on. So you're telling me because there's seamen out there who are stuck on a ship, that the NBA shouldn't use a ship to play their games?
Wow, I'm going to let you just take as much rope as you need to hang somebody, yourself.
Oh, no, please. I will hang myself on this one. You're not making any sense.
No, no, that's okay.
You're not making any sense.
Mike, appreciate it. I think it was a huge leap. It's like yesterday I was talking about the how they should go along with the draft, and someone called up and said, I don't care about people dying.
It's like,
you know, it's like you don't care about the hospitals and the doctors and the people dying. And I'm like, where did this conversation go? I'm talking about the draft. Why are we now I don't care about people dying? Like, that's what that guy went. You're just talking about how
that to me is the most reckless thing someone could do, because they can't make their point clear enough.
No,
and since they can't explain it, they just go do. You know what? You're not sensitive.
He might as well called you a racist while he was at it.
Yeah. I just got a text from my wife. You're yelling. Stop yelling. I'm in the basement. She says not in a good way.
I can't wait to get to my house.
You're right. When people can't make their own point, they start doing that.
Yeah,
they start wanting to rip your mustache off.
Fine. You don't care that people are dying in your streets. Yeah, I don't. You're right. You know what? I don't care. Right?
But Christian,
what you think?
The cruise ship thing is it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, we're seeing people that were protected, like Prince Charles was apparently protected from this, still contracted it. He still is positive. So you can't sit there and say, I can prevent this virus. If I put 5,000 people, NBA players, their families, the staff, and everything else on a cruise ship, I'm going to be able to protect the 5,000 people.
Certainly can't
and the worst
do it
part is when one of them gets it, they're all going to get it, or a lot of people are going to get it, because you're in a confined environment.
Do you think,
the one thing we do know, Jay Williams, cruise ships are a problem for this.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think you could do it June 24th?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I would guess. Hold on. I would guess against it, Lou.
Okay.
Based
on
what the doctors are telling us right now.
Okay.
And again,
what if you said July 24th?
You laugh at optics.
July 24th?
If we're dealing with 150 or 200,000 deaths, this is the doctors talking now. That's a possibility. If we're dealing with that, none of these games are going to be played.
What about July 24th?
None of them are going to be played.
What if you said July 24th? What if you said July 24th?
Well, Glenn, can I ask you a question?
None of them are still going to be played.
Okay, if
see, I'd say yes.
Glenn, if
200,000 deaths.
Glenn. If there's 400,000,
not July 24th.
If there's 400,000 deaths, let's say it's even worse, and we get to the point in August and people can go back to work, should people not open their restaurants? Is that a bad look? With 400,000 deaths, should people not open up their companies? Is that a bad look?
No, I think that eventually we're going to get back to normal. I said that at the top of the show, and we're going to get through this. But while it's going on, and I don't know how long it's going to go on, I would say
I'm just saying, like, if we get on the other side of it, and they're sitting there saying, okay, I don't know, end of June. I'm just trying to, I'm being an optimist by saying July 1st. I don't even know. And they think that they can do it. And the people are going back to work. Why shouldn't the NBA find a way?
They can't do it on a cruise ship, and I don't think they should do it
in a cruise ship.
I'm not sure they can do it on a neutral site. I think you would have to do it back in your city, and it means all of these cities would have to be cleared so that we can continue to get to near normal. Sean is in Beverly, next up here on OMF. What do you got, Sean?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Sean.
Why don't we build an ice rink at the International Space Station so we can play hockey in outer space where the virus can't get the hockey players?
I like it. I like
that. It's cold there too.
That is deep thinking, right there.
It's cold.
Keeps the ice nice and cold. Everybody be happy. They can have enough. Everybody doesn't have to be all together. It'd be great.
What would the equipment cost, though, Sean? Because I think those spacesuits are really expensive. Now Tuca would have no problem in one of those because he's accustomed to wearing all that equipment.
Then you'd be taking Corona with you because it's cold. You got to go to a warm climate.
Maybe we can go 3-on-3 to keep the price down.
Okay, that's good. How about 2-on-2? Even cheaper.
Why don't you just play horse? Just play horse.
Do that, or we can do.
I bet you something like that's coming too. I bet you're going to have certain situations. I talked about adapting earlier on the show, and you already see NBA players starting their own NBA 2K tournament where they're going to stream it live. You know, we're going to get
into
Brady
who's in the first
playing
tournament?
Golf against Peyton Manning. I don't care who's in the tournament.
Do you see in the
My
first
point
tournament?
Is that it doesn't matter. Like
Kevin Durant is in the first tournament. Wasn't he just tested positive?
Yeah, but you can play from your house.
He's in the first turn.
Hold on. Is that bad optics?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. He shouldn't do it. Right? He should. Is the glare.
Is that bad optics?
Crap.
I was joking.
Not really. Not really. You had
to think about that. You wanted it to be. But you had to think about it.
No, I didn't want it to be. I want business to come back to normal. I've already said this and expressed this numerous times that I'm more worried about what's going to happen on the back end of all of this than what we're dealing with right now, because I think we've got a lot of people that have a good idea. Maybe some people get off to a slow start. And people can debate that, and we'll debate that probably for years to come. But on the whole, I think they're getting a good grasp on this. But it's one of those things that we just don't know enough about. I mean, why did Wimbledon cancel already? They weren't scheduled to begin until the end of June.
They shouldn't have.
Why did they cancel?
They should not have.
They didn't postpone, by the way. They could have postponed. They could have moved it to September or whatever.
Well, like
could have put
else.
It after the U.S. Open, right?
That doesn't make everybody's making smart decisions. I don't think they should have. But they maybe should have postponed it, put another date. I don't think they should have canceled. Too far off. We don't know where we're going to be in a month. We might be in hell, okay? We probably are. But I just don't feel the need to start
like
canceling things in July. That's all.
Speak for yourself.
I feel like I am in hell.
Yeah. Speaking of hell, Christian, I don't know when you want to share with us a story, because you just brought up your wife.
Yeah.
Apparently something happened with you yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know if that's... Listen, I don't know if we can share that type of stuff.
Because on the air?
That may have,
why not?
Yeah, I don't know if we should.
I thought you share everything. I thought
you
were like the honest talk show.
I don't know.
You're an open book. Transparency.
All the time. Why can't we just tell everything that's going on behind the curtain?
You said it was by accident.
What happened behind the curtains yesterday?
Accident.
All right, so it's by accident. No big deal.
Let's just say, I'll put it this way. I may or may not have accidentally taken something that was a hallucination, a hallucinated drug.
Yesterday?
I may or may not have taken
during
something like
the
that
program.
By accident. During the program. I thought it was chocolate.
I thought it was weird. Did you notice he disappeared for like 10 minutes at a time yesterday? You were like really talkative, and then you disappeared, and then you got really hungry.
Yeah, all I know is about 8 o'clock, I'm not. This is not an exaggeration or a lie. I had 4 whoopie pies. I had nachos. Who makes nachos at 10 o'clock at night? Okay.
You're the munchies. I've
done then that my wife
people,
ends up making bananas Foster.
Ooh, nobody does that. At home,
like,
no.
What are we doing? We had this. We went nuts on the food. So somebody brought over some gifts, and I thought they were just chocolates. I was like, wow, these are really good. You guys probably saw me eating them during the show. Next thing I know,
they had a little something in them?
I thought that was energy bars.
More than something. No? I just thought, so did I. I thought it was like an energy chocolate mix or whatever. I don't know. What the hell
was
going
probably, because I didn't really notice it yesterday. So, I mean, it does take a little bit of time. I don't know, a couple of hours
but
probably.
I took
it's
it quiet in the 5 o'clock hour.
That's why maybe you started to feel it around.
I took it at 3. So, I remember at 5 o'clock, I remember there.
You were quiet. You were quiet in the 5 o'clock hour.
I was, wasn't I?
He yeah.
can't stay off the weed.
I'm just saying, it might. I don't know, that's what I heard, that maybe they kick in after a couple hours.
All I know is that I had a very interesting night.
That's what I heard.
Could
what?
You imagine, though, he's doing the bananas, Foster, and that's where you like put the sherry or something, and you light up the flame, right?
I don't remember any of it.
Oh,
I
my God.
There was an
and you're high, and you're trying
was,
to do this on
really
your
sticky.
Stove?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was
you
in
think
the
coronavirus
really
is
sticky.
A problem in your house? This is a bigger problem. Irresponsible Christian.
I don't know. What do you want me to do? Unstable Lou, irresponsible, lazy Christian. What do you want me to say?
Bad optics, Cordway.
Bad. Talk about bad optics, right?
Oh, that's bad optics. Jeez. Real bad optics. Well, so how are you today? No treats? Nothing coming down to the basement?
No. I was really dehydrated. It was like my mouth was like really dry. I don't know. I just felt like crap. I feel like crap for the first
time. So what
does
your wife do? Because you're in the basement. Does she come down like with a bowl or something, like as a dog, and say, here, try these?
I guess one of our kids actually thought it was just a chocolate bar and almost ate one. She had to dive like a spider monkey off from her desk and they just grab it out of her hand. And then they brought them down to me. You know what? I think she keeps saying that I'm yelling too much. Like she can hear me upstairs. And like when somebody like this, the last caller who calls in and tells me that, you know, I'm not sensitive to you know, the midshipmen of the world, like is insane.
You
want to
kill people. I think that's what he said.
Hey, listen, I know we got to go to break here soon. When we come back, can we have like a positive feel good stories kind of segment? You know,
sure.
There's a lot of
moving
doom
on.
And gloom,
yeah.
A lot of
sure.
bad optics, a lot of talk. There's some good things going on.
Word,
I want to do like a segment every day about good things.
Okay,
you
we'll
know,
do good
you need good things.
We'll
you
do good
the
things.
Kids need good things.
Good things. And then later on in this hour, an old Bill Belichick scouting report as to what you need to do to build an NFL team. It's fascinating. And we'll get into it and try to compare it to What is he doing right now as he's rebuilding to put together a team for 2020? He may be using the same manual that he put together back in 1991. All of that and more Teddy Bruschi at 4:30, part of our Brady Week, thanks to our friends over at Samuel Adams and RestaurantStrong.org.
It's Brady Week on EEI. Tune in every day at 8:30 a.m., 12:30, 4:30, and 6:30. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, guys, the NFL plans to start its 2020 season on time in September, as multiple executives have told ESPN and Kevin Seifert, ESPN writer, despite the global coronavirus pandemic. That is our expectation. That is the quote from the executive VP and general counsel, Jeff Pasch, of ESPN.
I heard they were announcing the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl next week. That's what I heard.
Did Dave Dobemeyer approve that one yet? It's been rumored, and now CNBC can confirm Tom Brady and Peyton Manning will join Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson in that round two golf matchup. Upcoming charity event in golf. Okay, no location yet, but it will not be a pay-per-view.
I'm sorry, it's not a pay-per-view. No matter of fact, they're going to do it as a charity thing, which is a good thing, right?
Fantastic.
So it works. It works for everybody. I'm more interested in the Howard Stern interview. It's next Wednesday with Tom Brady, right?
Yes.
All right, we're going to get to that. We're
now,
get
this
to that.
Is radio fireworks.
Wimbledon has been canceled. Not postponed, guys. Canceled. It was originally scheduled for June 29th. They're moving it back all the way to 2021 in June next year. Three more players from the Ottawa Senators have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the total up to 5 Ottawa Senators players with coronavirus. It's Brady Week here on WEI, brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Brady's 20 years right here in New England. At 4:30, Teddy Bruschi joins us on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah. As Lou said, there are a lot of good things that are happening.
Don't talk. What are you doing? What are you doing? Come on, you got to dance, Glenn. Dance. Come on, let me move your shoulders a little bit. Come on, I can see you. There you go. Come on.
We were trying to find a song that made us feel good, right? And we brought this back. Look at Glenn's dancing right now. We wanted to bring this song back because I remember every time we heard it, we all started kind of moving a little bit.
Yeah, you moved a little bit with the song. I got to admit it. Yeah. You move a little bit. So we're trying to come up with some good news. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but John Krasinski, Boston's own, by the way, played Jim on The Office. Everybody knows who he is. He's done some great things directing now as well. So he's got a whole channel right now that he's got on YouTube in which he's putting out good news every single day, which is a nice thing. So Lou would like to... give us some good news in the sports world when it comes to this thing.
Three good news. So we got a couple locals, but I want to start with the one story that's not quite local. But I don't know if you knew it. In Major League Baseball, so they announced that they're going to pay minor leaguers $400 a week up till May 31st. So that's $400 a week, so, you know, $1,600 a month, which, by the way, is more than what 70% of all minor leaguers make a month. Keep that in mind. For only a season, 5 months they get paid, $1,600 a month is more than 70% of minor leaguers, what they are already making. So that was a nice gesture by Major League Baseball. But Sinchu Chu, outfielder for the Texas Rangers, announced that he is donating $1,000 to every single player in the Texas Rangers minor league system. That is 190 players that he is handing $1,000 to each kid. 190 grand. Now, listen, makes a lot of money. Guy makes $20 million a year, you know, and you know, so it's I'm not into, like, guys giving their money away, but I think this was a great gesture. It was good to see taking care of every single minor leaguer in his organization, just giving them a little bit, and that kind of helps him get through 3 months, to be perfectly honest, as opposed to two is what good. Major League Baseball gave him. So that was outstanding.
Yep, terrific.
That was a good one. So the other one is local. Now, this was a few days ago, but I wanted to bring it up in our little segment because we want to give him all the props in the world. But Rob Gronkowski and his girl Camille Kostek, is that how you pronounce it?
Kostek.
Okay. Yep. They donated 10,000 masks to the
20.
Boston. Well, 10,000 to Boston Medical Center, okay, and then 10,000 to St. Joseph's University Medical Center in New Jersey.
Correct.
So they donated a total of 20,000 masks.
And not for nothing, but I mean that is one. It's an extreme generous
the KN95 that everybody
okay.
needs. Yeah.
Yeah. Two, those things, those PPEs, they're a personal protective equipment. That's one of them. The mask is one of them. They're so hard to get. They're so hard to come by. So, the fact that he could find them, how'd he find 20,000? He got 20,000. And then he was able to distribute them.
She found them. I want to give her a lot of credit in this one. I'm not trying to take any credit away from him because he obviously was part of all of this great contribution. But it sounds to me like Camille and her connections with Sports Illustrated had some contacts there from when she was doing the shoots for the magazine. And apparently she had some connections to be able to get them. So power couple, great job. I agree. How about Stephon Marbury?
How about him?
He's arranged a deal to deliver 10 million of the N95 medical masks to New York. 10 million.
10 million?
Yes. So he played over in China.
Wow.
And he's got contacts over there. He lives in Beijing, so he's got contacts over there. And he's originally from Brooklyn, and so he's going to send them over to New York. So they're arranging right now for those to be delivered to New York. 10 million. Jeez. And they're those N95 medical masks. Pretty good.
And then you got this one here as well. So Michael,
oh, we got another one.
Yeah,
like
another
it.
One. Michael
Keep
Joyner.
Keep the music going. Let's
A lot
go.
Of good things
Keep
going.
The music going. Michael Joyner, hold on. Anesthesiologist, okay, at the Mayo Clinic, told ABC News that at least four NBA players who recovered from the infection of coronavirus plan to donate their blood to the National COVID-19 Convalescent Plasma Project, an experimental treatment that could help high-risk patients recover from the virus. One of those four players is your Marcus Smart. He announced Monday that he is clear of COVID-19 and confirmed Tuesday night that he plans to donate blood so it can be studied with the hope of finding a treatment for the coronavirus. So you got four players doing it. One of them is your guy, Marcus Smart.
Yep.
Good things.
No question about it. And you're seeing a lot of it. If you're watching in social media, there are a lot of things. You know, kids having birthday parties and they can't have anybody over, and the people in the neighborhood are doing a parade drive-by.
Yep.
And they're waving and they're throwing gifts. And I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. How about, think about this. So if you've got a mother or a father in a nursing home right now or a retirement home, you can't go and visit them. These are elderly people who are shut out from the outside world. And yet we're seeing a lot of people, a lot of videos out there where they're arranging to do it up to the window and stuff like that. So, you know, when stuff gets tough, there are a lot of good people out there and doing a lot of good things.
Yeah.
So I like this.
Good.
We should do this every day.
Yeah, I think
so. Should find the good things in life.
I think
there.
So. I like the gym.
Christian,
the
it's your responsibility tomorrow. Come
good.
Up with 10 of them.
Yeah, we'll
10?
Come up.
I think you can find more than 10. I mean, we can.
Oh, I think we can.
I mean,
more.
Really, it people are going out of their way to make a difference. Oh, stop. Come on, let's go. One more time. I just, this is like, but you can't ask me a question and then play this from the beginning, Ordway.
Of course, last week, hoppity ho, hoppity ho, is that what you said, hoppity ho, okay.
It sounds a lot like hoppity ho. It's got a ring of hoppity ho.
So last week, we should include this in our good news today. Because Drew Brees and his wife Brittany gave $5 million to Louisiana, which has been heavily struck by all of this. There were a lot of people, obviously, down there for Mardi Gras, and we're finding out that it was a problem because they were not distancing themselves. And I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but apparently Sean Payton is talking about Taysom Hill. Unlike you, Christian, he believes he is a starting quarterback and a good one in the National Football League, and they're going to wean him along this year. They signed him pretty cheap. But he said, then the unique situation with our team and with our quarterback, Drew Brees, is he's announced he's coming back for his final season.
Ooh.
He said that on ESPN today. Now, Drew Brees has not said that he's retired. They have one of those voided contracts, right? It's a two-year deal, but the or three-year deal, and the second and third year are voided, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it could be that he's coming back for 1 year.
Could be.
And this is it for him.
Could be.
And a Taysom Hill is the quarterback of the Saints going forward.
Chicka-boom. Boom. Doesn't it make you feel good, though? Like for like 10, 15 minutes, we can sort of just, you know, forget
we
that.
We need stuff like this.
You know, this 2020 just sucks.
Yeah.
We can just, I'm, by the way, I am working on this shirt.
And not a little. It doesn't suck
just
a little.
Just suck a little?
Yeah.
Suck
2020 a lot. Just suck a little. I'm working on it.
It sucks a lot. It's too late. You better work on 2021 sucking a little, because this sucks a lot.
Yeah.
I just saw this one too, by the way. WBC, CBS Boston News. Patriots helping those in need during a corona crisis. The Kraft family and Gillette Stadium are donating more than $100,000 in goods to local food pantries and homeless shelters.
Nice. Could have paid that to Brady instead of giving it to the public. I like that.
Pockets of doom. Seek it the boom.
Banta. Banta. It's like a brand new, it's like a brand new language.
They call me Timothy.
By the way, he actually is tweeting out there. AB is, but nobody's paying attention.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to all of us.
Nobody is paying
attention. Nobody gives a crap. So isn't it amazing?
He's Gonski. He's out of the picture now. You notice he's trying hard. He's trying to get everybody's attention. He's trying to talk about what's going on with the coronavirus, and nobody is paying. They're just ignoring him. Go away.
I know we're going to get in trouble for just playing the song over and over again, but it's good stuff. It's good information. We're going to get a lot. We've got Teddy Bucci coming on.
Yeah.
We're going to rank our linebackers. I also want to bring up this article, this scouting report from 1999. I want to make sure we get to that because
we're doing
that
it in the next segment.
Is fascinating.
It is.
What he says. Yep. And it's amazing how he breaks down the most important thing for an offense. He has these four keys. These four keys that are the most important. Just like Bruce Arians did with his quarterback. Bill has the same thing for his offense.
Yeah, I like his I like the way he looks at different stuff, including the tight end, which I think Lou might have some issue with. I think we might not get to.
You think?
Yeah, I think he might have some issue to it. This is a little different than.
Well, does he believe he doesn't need one?
It's a little.
Well, so it is the beliefs we don't need one.
We'll do it in the next segment.
Would that be consistent?
We'll do it. And we'll get some phone calls coming in the next segment as well. 617-779-7937. Wait till you hear this. 1991, Bill Belichick wrote a scouting report. This is what we need to do to build an NFL team. Wait till you hear it.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, back here in OMF, we continue to do the show at three different sites. Obviously, we want to stay healthy, and we do not want to make sure, we want to make sure that nobody else contracts this as well. We're trying to all do this distancing, but in the same respect, we're trying to do the show every single day as normal as we possibly can. This is out of the normal, though. How did this pop up? This is from February the 13th, 1991. Somebody dug up an old 1991 scouting notes by Bill Belichick. Organization must be aggressive on all fronts. That's the headline on it. And I can tell you, this is before computers. This was a typewriter. He did this with one of those old typewriters.
Sure.
And he put it all together. Yeah, all caps. The whole thing is all in caps of how to put together a winning football team. And he does it position by position. He does it with offense and defense. Let me just start with the offense. Make defense defend the middle of the field first by running and throwing inside. Work from the inside out in terms of blocking and protection. When defense commits more players inside, then we can attack the outside, run and pass. Need some type of powerful element in the running game. Need big upfront people to knock guys off the ball. How is that any different from what Bill Belichick does now? Is it?
No, I saw it and I loved it because, you know, everybody's got their own theory. And, you know, especially with the way, you know, people look at the running game right now, he says, no, you want to ground and pound. You want to attack the inside. That's like the, you know, you're fighting inside a phone booth. There's more bodies. There's less space. There's lots of collisions going on. You know, you really have to have a really tough mindset. So let's find out if you're tough first. Let's make you overcommit. And then we're going to start attacking you on the outside with our speed and our skill. It's fabulous.
I like it.
Yeah. Passing game must protect quarterback in the middle. Need size and strength guys who won't get driven back.
So the thing that stood out to me, another one, there's a bunch here. So he says, while the game it hasn't really changed over the decades, Bill rated the following four areas as the key for any successful offense. So the first key, which I constantly see debunked, because there's a lot of people, especially passing coordinators and, you know, the quarterback coaches, they say, no, you got to be able to throw the ball, attack downfield. His number one thing is run the ball.
Yep.
You got to be able to run the ball. Number two, pick up the blitz. Right? That's an asset for a lot of teams. You pick up that blitz and you just basically cut one of their legs from under them, and then they're playing with one arm tied behind their back. Right? Pick up third down. You have to have the ability to, one, keep the chains moving, demoralize the other team, you know, because then they start guessing wrong. So if you can continually pick up third down when it's in most difficult circumstances, when they want to get off the field, again, feather in your cap. And the last thing is score. Okay, of course, that has to be in there, right? You can't settle for field goals. Don't get knocked off. Don't get knocked out of scoring position. So that includes field goals as well. So because all that work is for nothing, like you'd be really pissed. But run the ball being number one, I mean, again, that's why I think it's going to be so important for this team this year, running the football.
Yeah, I like the quarterback one too as well. Because, oh, by the way, Ian Rappaport just said on Twitter that the Patriots have released Ryan Kessler. Cody Kessler, him too, his brother.
Oh, okay.
They released both Kesslers. But no, Cody Kessler's been released, so now you're down to Stidham and Hoyer. That's it. Not that we thought
does that mean,
Kessler would be in the mix at all anyways. But
so does that mean they're adding a quarterback here? Or do they feel confident going with those two?
They're going to go with those two, and they're going to get one in the draft. All right, so anyways, his quarterback thing. Number one thing is to make good decisions. Then arm, size, physically tough. Leadership. Guys look up to and have confidence in. A real competitor. Accurate rather than a guy with a cannon. Emphasis in our game will be on decision-making, timing, accuracy. Guy needs to be confident, intelligent. Intelligence is important, but not as much as so as on-field awareness and judgment. Can't be sloppy fundamentally. Unsound guy with the ball handling, techniques, etc. Footwork, drops, release, etc. Quarterback has to be able to throw the ball with accuracy. And you wonder why Jameis Winston was not thought of.
I mean, there's not one box that he checks, so he's got a cannon for an arm, can throw it a mile. But he's just so reckless, and he's so unpredictable with his throws, bad decision-making. I mean, is he confident? You know, sometimes. Is he intelligent? No, because if you were intelligent, you wouldn't make stupid mistakes.
Well, even if you think he is intelligent, because he said intelligence is important, but not as much as field awareness and judgment. So, right, so you can say he's intelligent, right, but he sure as hell has no awareness and judgment. And we're talking about Winston now.
Right. So we know that if you read this, it clearly you can understand what he saw in Tom Brady. And the question is, does he see it in Jarrett Stidham? But the one thing in reading all of this, everything makes sense to me. Offensive line, big guys, strong, powerful guys, guys who have the frame to get bigger, knock some bigger guards versus 3-4 linebackers. He goes through all of that. The one that doesn't right now pertain, at least it didn't in 2019, which I think begs the question of what the hell did they do at tight end, is when he's talking back on 1999 about tight ends. Number one has to be a catcher. Ozzie Newsome, Keith Jackson types. Don't need the offensive line type guy in a tight end jersey. Take what we can get from him on the blocking. Just gets in the way and tie up. We can work around his blocking ability. Catch, run, block. Number two or number three tight end needs to be the blocker for situational running situations. Can also use the in-betweener, not quite a tight end, but not fast enough to be a wideout, 6'3", 235 minimum type guy.
I don't know what that is.
Needs to be big enough to get in the way. Good measure of tight end is also what he does with the ball after the catch. And then he's got this underlined, don't let the lack of blocking ability eliminate a good player.
By four, you got there.
Well, it's funny because the funny thing that he says, well, that can be debatable.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The funny thing is, like, and that's what I tell, like, I remember in college, it was so easy to mash people and just really create a whole nother line of scrimmage because you were so much better and there was so much emphasis on that. But in the pros, like, you're going against a guy that is just as talented as you are. So you're never, ever going to dominate them like you do guys in college. Like, every now and then, you have a great block. For the majority of the time, it's a stalemate. So I would always say, listen, a stalemate wins. None of these guys are going to arm tackle an NFL back. It's not going to happen. They're too good. So all you really need to do is not get pushed back and get in his way. That's it. Job done. And so that it always used to make me laugh when guys couldn't do that. Like, they just couldn't get in the guy's way. So those guys can't be trusted. No, you don't need – like, Dan Graham would literally mash the hell out of a linebacker. Kill him. I mean, just crush the – you know, you're talking about setting the edge. He would do it on a regular basis. And he was good with the ball in his hands, but, you know, didn't have great hands, right? You know, he was a better blocker than he was a receiver. You know, he was drafted in the first round. They went up to get him. And Ben, I think they thought was going to be more of a receiver than a blocker, but he couldn't do either great, right? He figured it out later on in his career, but using those two guys as an example, you know, which is surprising to a guy like Wiggy. Wiggy could catch the ball. Wiggy was a good route runner. He was slow, and he shuffled, and he was good in the mud.
Jermaine Wiggins was the best mudder that we had.
But he wasn't really, you know, dominating. But he could get in the way.
He fits the description.
This is the description. This is what
it defies it in 2019. And I know this has been a big deal with Lou, and he's right on this one. This is the one part of the report that he did not do in 2019, which leads me to believe that something happened there, that he was not expecting Gronk to leave, to retire. Something happened, because look at how he starts it. Number one has to be a catcher. Ozzie Newsome, Keith Jackson, all right, that's a stretch. But they didn't have a catcher at tight end.
So the one thing, too, I thought was just interesting, a line in here about offensive line. He starts off saying big guys who are strong, powerful players, guys who have the frame to get bigger. And at one point he says, not necessarily have to be great athletes due to a quick five-step passing game. But even back then, 1991, he's talking about a quick passing game. Get the ball out, right?
Yeah.
Can use a slightly dumber guy who's a good athlete.
Oh, that is too good. That's well, the honesty we're looking
meant for the players to read this. I
know, slightly, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can
that
use
is
a
great.
Slightly dumber guy who's
I'm
a good athlete.
Myself.
But even back in 1991, he's like, you know, we don't have to big, great athletes due to a quick five-step passing game, which in 91, you know, he believed in back then.
It's to be a purpose, to be have passion in my life.
Oh, it's great.
I love this. Guys who get penalized, you're talking about offensive linemen again, are not what we want. Big, strong, physical, nasty, smart. I mean, geez, you want everything. I think he wants his cake and eat it too. Because
yeah.
Finding a big, strong, physical, nasty, smart offensive lineman, you know, sometimes you have the physical guy, but he's not that smart because he has to be physical because he's not that smart. So he has to make up for being nasty. And, you know, maybe some guy's really strong, and once he blocks the right guy, he can move him, but he's too dumb enough to recognize the front. So easier said than done. You know, that's why I think these guys, you know, turn themselves into pretzel trying to, you know, analyze these players and try to find the right guys, you know. Or maybe it's a sign that the Patriots have had so many, like, undrafted guys, guys that play different sports, and they were able to bring them in because they had this template, right? Okay, if you find me this guy, Dante Scarnecchia, okay, then we can use him. Okay, well, Dante finds this guy like a David Andrews. David Andrews is not a very big guy. At least he wasn't at Georgia. That's why he was undrafted, but he was smart. He knew who to block. You know, he was physical, even though he was undersized, and he was tough. So, I mean, that alone is half the battle. Knowing who to block is half the battle. Knowing where to line up is half the battle. If you don't know where to line up, you cannot play. That's the first thing you need to know.
All right,
where should I line up?
I want to go this one, too, because you tell me if this doesn't scream Sonny Michel. I mean, first-round draft pick, right? His running backs. He says Mack is ideal. Who was his back in 91?
I know. That's the guy from the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Mack?
Yeah. He wants, you got to be
Mack.
Tough.
Got to be Mack. No, he was awesome. He was a perfect running back.
Got to be tough inside, he says. I don't know what NS guy is, but tough inside. Has enough to bounce at the outside and needs to be able to catch the ball. Has to be able to step up and take on the blitz. You also need a third down back like Metcalf. But he's got to be tough inside. He's got to have enough to bounce outside, and he needs to be able to catch the ball. Screams first-round draft pick Sonny Michel. Or not.
No, I was going to say, wait, hold on, wait. No, I don't think so. Let's look through this. So he needs to.
Should have stuck with that 91 report.
So also a short yardage. So,
Nick Chubb.
So that third down back.
Same team.
Could be your situational type guy. Can also be a special teams guy.
James White, yeah.
Yeah. Needs to be smart enough to block the right guy on the blitz. Also need a smart guy who can block and catch.
And
not
catch.
Have to be a runner necessarily. Rathman type guy. yeah. I love how he's used. When he used the tight end, he used Jay Novacek.
Yeah.
Who's like a betweener, right? He's but you know, 6'3". He's tall though. Novacek's like 6'4". But at the time, he was around 6'30", in-betweener. Mm. So this is some good stuff. So, but basically,
yeah,
he wants everything. He wants everything.
And at the time, catching out of the backfield was not as big as it is now. It's a big thing in the league now.
91.
But 1991, he was putting it down there. Who can block? Who can catch? Who can pick up on the right guy on the blitz? But most of this, I would say, is all of the stuff that he does now. I mean, we should save this, and when we finally get to speak to him, either this fall or who knows, maybe the fall of 2023 or whatever it is.
Glenn, you got the scouts out, don't you?
I do, Bill. I got them out. Maybe we can ask him if anything has changed. Because the tight end is one aspect of it where you can see it was a screw-up. I mean, something fell apart for them at that tight end position. He didn't go into the season thinking we're good based on this report from 1991, right?
It, to me, it's so funny because like a lot of some teams, you know,
really
think just the opposite. Yeah, so I know that there's a lot of teams out there that if you're a a flex tight end, just a pass catching tight end, they want nothing to do with you.
I'm not concerned with 1991. Yeah. I'm not concerned with 2001. I'm not concerned with 2013. I'm not concerned with 2016, 2017, 2018.
What are you concerned with, Bill?
I'm just trying to make this, the football team win games and do the best we can.
How about Malcolm Butler? Why didn't he play?
I've already covered that. I've already covered that, Lou.
How about Tom Brady? No longer with your team.
I wrote a statement. If you want me to, I can print it out for you and I can give it to you. Okay? I already made a statement. All right? Okay?
You just read statements.
Okay. Is it true that you hate Brady? I'm not even going to answer that.
No, what you should do is you should say, we did the five Brady haters, three Brady haters. And I picked you number one, Bill. You think that's fair?
Oh, yo, don't think we're not going to play that. Oh, that's going to be in the oops when Bill comes up.
That's fine.
And we're going to make sure we hear.
Lou, how's it going?
Good, Bill.
Bill, do you know that you were the number one guy?
Yeah.
Make sure you have Glenn saying,
still
be
here if you
like
him.
Yeah, I don't know, Lou.
Moves on. He doesn't like him.
Yeah, this was
fascinating stuff. And when you look back and see how long ago he put this together, 1991, and as I said, he's putting it on paper with a typewriter, sitting there with one of those little typewriters.
All caps. Got to make his
amazing
point.
Yeah.
No, I love the quarterback analysis is pretty significant. Like, so, which surprises me sometimes when I just think about the guys that came in when I was here. So, like, of Rohan Davey, who had a monster cannon of an arm, wasn't accurate at all. Ryan Mallett, had a monster of an arm, could throw the ball and was 100 yards on his knees, but everything was a cannon, no touch whatsoever. So I don't get that part
that
of
the,
it. I don't get it. The guy's got no touch. He's not that accurate. So why'd you pick him?
Well, the book on Stidham was that he has a cannon of an arm, correct?
I don't know, but Stidham...
He can run. He can run a little bit, but he's got a cannon of an arm.
But if you go to Stidham when he was at Baylor, and there was a lot of touch passes. There was a lot of just, examples of him, throwing that ball, not getting wet and throwing it through a car wash. I mean, the guy could spin it. Yeah. But Rohan Davey, Ryan Mallett, those guys were strictly fastballs, all of them. Fastballs.
It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that with Stidham, because every one of those scouting reports when he came up in the draft a year ago, they all say he had one terrific season in which many of the scouts were rating him, above a lot of the quarterbacks that got drafted in that first round. And then the other year, he absolutely sucked. Awful.
Lost his offensive line, lost a bunch of his receivers, lost his running back, and that offense is strictly... that whole RPO offense, and it was different. So you go to his last year at Baylor and his first year at Auburn. That's what you're looking at if you really want to evaluate him, and maybe they realized that, and his stock went down his last year because people were talking about him for the Heisman before his last year.
So if Bill does not bring in anybody, now that Kessler is gone, he's down to two quarterbacks. We know exactly what Hoyer is. Hoyer is a fill-in backup quarterback. He can play a couple games if your starting quarterback goes down with an injury. But if you're planning on using Brian Hoyer over a 16-game season, you're not going to have great production, right? We all agree with that. So even if he drafts somebody in this year's draft, that person doesn't know the system, and that person is going to get far less time working on the system over the spring and the summer. He's not going to be ready to play. So it's got to be Stidham unless they go out, wait till the end, watch one of these teams dump a quarterback, a Dalton, somebody like that, and they scoop him up at the end. And even that player, they're going to have to ramp up pretty quickly because, again, with very few practices during the spring and the summer, who knows how quickly they're going to pick this thing up.
No, this is – they're not
– They love Stidham. They have to love Stidham to do all this. They have to.
But they could also have their eyes on somebody else. They don't have to love him to draft somebody
else.
They
got Hoyer. I mean, knows the system. Going to miss some time. You can always play him early in the year until they get the kid caught up with all the missing time he's going to get here. So, good happen.
Yeah, as much as Brady is going to miss time down in Tampa Bay, you can't escape the fact that Stidham, and that's usually what Bill loves. He loves that big advancement from year one to year two. He talks about that all the time. Year one, you know, a lot of the stuff we're doing, the guy's overwhelmed by it and in any position, and they're trying to figure it out. But by year two, there's enough classroom participation that we expect that you are up to speed by year two. I think it's going to be hard for Stidham to do it with the limited, you know, time they're going to have.
Stidham is going to be pushed, and he's going to be pushed hard. This is not just, hey, it's your job to lose.
Right.
That I will tell you. He hasn't done anything. They don't respect rookies. I mean, this guy hasn't done anything yet. So they're not just going to hand him the starting job. Not even close.
What are you talking about? They don't even respect 20-year veterans. That's what I heard. That's why he left, right?
That's true. No respect.
617-779-7937. Coming up in the next hour, Teddy Bruschi will join us at 4:30. We'll also rank our top linebackers coming up in the next hour as well. We get back to your phone calls. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.